Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word. The book of Proverbs, written by Solomon, one of the wisest people aside from the Lord himself that God ever allowed to walk the earth. The title of this book in Hebrew is Mashal, which means to, govern in a sense. And it is from wisdom not of the world, but divine wisdom that helps you in your civil life, your religious life, and your business. And it is a book of comparisons. In other words, it will give you what a comparison of the good and the bad. It will give you a comparison of what happens to you when you're bad, and also what happens to you when you're good. So, fantastic book with, and I just like to call it comparisons because that's what it is. Wisdom now is still speaking, and I would title this chapter Blessings of Wisdom. Chapter 2, the great book of Proverbs, verse 1, word of wisdom from our Father. Let's go with it. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Now, this means to lay up, like you would have somebody lay something aside. Lay up or hide in your mind. What's in your mind? Your memory, your thought process, your brain. In other words, take the words of God and instill them. Hide them means like you would put a valuable diamond ring in a treasured place, like it was a treasure. That's how valuable truth and wisdom should be to you, because it's the secret to a successful life. It's the secret to happiness, peace of mind, and success. Right? Because it's the blessings of wisdom. And wisdom, the blessings of wisdom are the blessings of God, for all wisdom comes from God, as we learned in chapter 1. Verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. This loses a little in the translation. It means so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. It means point your ear. In other words, that means focus. If we were to talk about an animal, a deer, a dog, or anything else, when they hear a sound or something, the ear goes forward. The ears point to the sound. And that's basically what this means. When you hear the wisdom of God, don't be daydreaming about something else somewhere off in the boonies. Stay focused on the wisdom of God. Keep the ears pointed forward to the Word of truth. And at the same time, apply thine heart to understanding. That's your mind. And when you stay focused that way, it's a lot easier to understand, to recognize common sense when it comes your way. Verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, we really want it. Okay. Thirst for it, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. That means that you cry out and you search and you seek, let your voice be toward asking questions. Ask questions of God to have understanding and wisdom. If you don't have to have a pastor to ask a question, ask God and pray for the understanding. He'll give it to you if you'll search the Word, if you'll look for the hidden truth in His Word. Hidden from whom? Those that are idle. Those that daydream. It's hidden from those that seek the ways of the world rather than the ways of Almighty God. Verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You know, some old prospectors will go out and they'll hunt a whole lifetime for one little vein. And that's the way truth is. You know. When God places upon you the hunger and the thirst for truth, for knowledge, And you spend a lifetime searching those scriptures, searching His Word, pointing the ear to it, listening, reckoning, and putting away in your mind those things and holding them as something very valuable, just as man would if he were hunting for a precious metal. Verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. In other words, you learned in verse 7 of chapter 1 that the beginning of wisdom is to reverence Almighty God. And I broke that word reverence down for you. It's fear, as it's written, but it has, in verse 7, it yarai, it has two meanings. And that's kind of the whole plan of Proverbs. It is to give you a comparison. So the word yarai can mean to fear as to fear, or to revere as to love. Why? The comparison is, but if you follow the Proverbs and do it God's way, then you can reverence Him. If you go the opposite way, the way of the world, then you had better yarai, fear Him, because you're going to get it. Okay. Because if God loves you, and I hope He does, He's going to chastise you. Okay, let's go with the next verse, verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. That's where it comes from. You got to wake up to that. You got to point your ears to that fact. All wisdom comes from God. Okay. Well, He's the eternal judge. You better please Him, because He decides whether you go to hell or heaven. Okay. Talk about a comparison. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So why wouldn't you listen to Him? You know, man's traditions and man's babble will take you a lot of places, but God's Word always makes common sense. God's Word cuts to the chase. That means to give you truth and understanding and blessings. The main thing is when you do it His way, if you do it His way, He's the one that sends the blessings. It's sure a lot happier life with His blessings than it is to be blessed of the world. Verse 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. You know what a buckler is? That's a shield. In other words, if you walk uprightly in the path of Almighty God, then He lays up that sound wisdom for you. See, there's a condition here. If you're doing what's right. He didn't say He lays it up for the wicked. He didn't say He lays it up for the halfway, good and wicked. He said, I lay it up for the righteous. That's those that at least try their best to do what's right. Then He is a buckler. In other words, if somebody gets in your way, He doesn't let it happen. He takes care of business. He always does. He is that shield. If, again, there's the condition. Never read over that. You must comply, utilizing common sense and understanding, and being focused on the Word, not daydreaming, focusing on the Word to attain common sense through understanding. Verse 8, He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. That means He protects their way. That's the path you take in life. He keeps the path of judgment. Well, He keeps it just for you. Whereby everything is, if you know, you give me one of God's saints, that simply means to set aside one of God's zadok, elect. And you give Him the wisdom from God's Word as to what's dangerous, what isn't, and so forth. Then they do not need all that much protection. They can protect themselves. However, God is saying, when that time comes that you can't, I'll handle it. If you start getting off in the boonies, I'll put you back on the path that is justified, and that will bring you to that judgment seat in good shape. Preserveth means to keep you, and it means eternally. Okay. Verse 9. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. You're going to know which track to take. Understanding righteousness does that for you, and judgment, that is to say, that is justified, that is right, and equity meaning that is fair and good. You're able to visualize that path and take that track whereby you keep away from much of the riffraff and trouble of the world. Verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. When you enjoy wisdom, when you enjoy knowledge of God's word, when it raises you, it lifts you, it strengthens you. God is our strength. God is our protector. God is one that keeps us on the right track. Verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Discretion being common sense. Common sense will preserve thee. You know where to, when to, and how to. Well, how would I know that? Because you got wisdom. And not wisdom of the world, but wisdom from our Heavenly Father. That's what these Proverbs, this comparison is about. It compares that is evil and wrong with that is right. The choice is yours. You know, whether you go to heaven or hell is not God's choice, it's yours. It's how you live. It's what's written by your name in the book of life that determines that. Because God is a fair judge. If it's written in the book of life by what you have done that you deserve heaven, you will receive heaven. If it is written in the book that you need to go to hell because of your bad acts and so forth, you'll go to hell. But it will be fair and just. You can count on it. For our Father is fair and just. But how about this discretion, this common sense, lets you see that comparison? And who would want to go with all the trouble? Who would want that? Who would choose it? What a waste of time. What a waste of life. And what a terrible thing to do to your family. The people you love and that love you, what a terrible thing for you to pull on them. And so it is. Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. That's perverse things. He'll deliver you from him, okay? To deliver thee, it means to just pluck you out, okay? Just take you away from him. God is able to do that. God can do that. Verse 13, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Who is the prince of darkness, and what path is that? It's Satan, of course. It's the false Messiah. In this generation, the fig tree, to walk in that path is to allow yourself to walk right up to the false Christ instead of the true Christ. After all, that's what Antichrist means in the Greek, is instead of Christ. And people who tell you the first Christ that appears on earth is the one you go with is leading you to the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist comes at the sixth trump. The true Christ does not gather us back to him until the last trump, which is the seventh. So that's the comparison. You can either go at the sixth trump or you can wait for the seventh. That's your prerogative. Common sense should tell you, don't go on the dark path. The prince of darkness is none other than Satan himself. And when you have hidden in the back of your mind, stored and sealed the seal of God, the wisdom from God to know the trumps, how they count the chronological order of events that consummate the end of this age, then you're not going to mess up. You're going to know and you're going to understand. So never leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Okay, it's dangerous out there. You stumble, you fall. It's guaranteed that you're going to fall. You know? And why make the trip in the first place when it's so easy to stay on the path? Because if you're doing what's right, he's already promised, I'll protect you, and if somebody gets in your way, I'll pluck them right out. Okay. Do you know something? He means that. He actually means that. If you stay focused, if you listen to him, if you listen to his wisdom, if you possess that wisdom, if you follow that wisdom, hey, you're in pretty good shape, friend. You got nothing to worry about because you're a child of light. And do you know what happens when a child of light gets on that dark path? It lights the path everywhere. That is demonic can't stand that light because we were given power over it, and God plucks them out of our very existence and life. So it's always so much better to observe the comparisons and choose our Father who loves you instead of Satan who wants you to see death with him. Choice is yours. That's what Proverbs are. Your choice. Verse 14. Who rejoice to do evil? It just thrills them to death. And delight in the frowardness, that's to say the boldness of the wicked. They think it's cute. They think it's, you know, the thing to do. And how blind can one be? How very blind could one be? Verse 15, whose ways are crooked. They're perverse. Nothing straight about it. Okay. And they forward in their paths. In other words, that perversiveness in their path is always there. And they're going to have that trouble. It's an amazing thing. Now, you know, what is beautiful about this is your choice. Strictly your choice. You make your bed, you sleep in it. Okay? And I hope you find it comfortable. That's your life. And it's what you've chosen. And people, some will start saying, well, it wasn't my choice. Oh, yes, it was. You made it, now sleep in it. You know, the beauty, though, of it is, if you're unhappy with your way, you can always change. You can come to the way of God's path and let him take that rough junk out of your life and give you joy and happiness. What he's saying here is the wicked will even brag about and be very bold and just taking you over if you allow it. You don't want to allow it because you're a child of the living God. And he gives you these comparisons. Choose the right way. Okay. Stay focused. And learn to gain God's protection instead of chasing after silliness. Verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. This word is zur, and it means foreign. Do you know who this woman is in this generation? It's that old harlot mystery Babylon, and she'll yak at you. All her words will come to you. It'll be okay. You know what else she'll be saying? You don't have to know the book of Revelation. You'll read about me there if you were to read the book of Revelation of what a big harlot I am. You don't have to understand Revelation because you're going to be gone. You're going to fly away. There's just one big problem. That's a lie. It's not written. It is not written in God's Word, though some would teach you it is. When it simply means, you see, this strange woman happens at the sixth trump. We don't get her back to Christ until the seventh. Now, that's what God's Word states. Now, are you going to believe God's Word? and stay on the smooth path, the path where God protects you, the very path that God will feed you, nourish you, take care of you, and pluck anything out of the way that gets in your way that you can't handle. He lets you take care of the easy stuff. When it gets past and over your head, he'll take care of the rest. You can count on it if you keep your ears forward. That's a figure of speech now, and I've explained, and if you are ever around or know anything about animal husbandry, you will understand what I'm talking about. Attention. Focus. Follow God. Not traditions of men or the dark path that leads you astray. Don't listen to that old harlot. Don't listen to Zer, this foreign babble that she puts forth. She's really mother false religion. You got it? That's all it is false religion. Verse 17. Which forsake the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Doesn't understand it, doesn't know it, didn't stay focused, drifts away from the Word of God. Well, I've got other things to do. I'm such a busy person. Busy on your way to hell. Yeah, I got it. That's all you care about. Well, you're not too bright, are you? Anyone that will let their eternity slip to the side because they're busy over what? This world that's about to pass? It's well, you see, the beauty of this is when you gain the wisdom of God and divine wisdom, your wisdom is far above what you need for wisdom of the world. You'll automatically know intuitively what to do to see that God's blessings follow you, that are with you, that surround you. And how happy that makes our Father. Don't forget the covenant. It's extremely important. 18. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. Have you ever been on an incline? You just couldn't hardly hang on to your footing, and it gets steeper and steeper, and it's downhill and downhill until finally you fall. Well, that's what her house does. It inclines into death, into the very hell itself. You don't want to get on that incline because that's what your life will be. You know, a lot of people, I suppose that you could utilize drugs. You could have a happy family, a man that has a good business, a beautiful family. And he's some ignorant person tells him, you need to snort a little of this. So he snorts a little, and then he snorts a little more and snorts some more. And pretty soon, he's neglecting his family. He's on an incline. He loses his business. Now his wife loves him and his children love him, and yet they'll hang with him up to a point until it gets so bad that even they turn on him. He ends up with nothing on that slippery slope to hell. You know, you try to figure that out. Why would someone do that? Because they listened to the wrong voice when they should have been listening to the commandments of Almighty God and saving themselves that slippery slope. Verse 19, none that go into her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That's eternal life. They lose it. Verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteousness. 21, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Perfect means the mature ones, those that are focused. What about the wicked? 22, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. We don't want them. You know where they're going to be rooted out and where they're going? They're going to hell. Okay. They're going into that lake of fire and poof, that's all. Gone forever. No eternal life. Chapter 3, my son, forget not my law. This is wisdom calls. She's calling you. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. In other words, guard them in your mind. Guard the way of Almighty God. 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. When you grow in wisdom, you grow in everything. It's a no-lose policy, my friend, to gain wisdom, the wisdom of our Father, the wisdom spoken of in chapter 1, verse 7. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. You let them settle in your mind, and you hide them there, and you treasure them as though it was the most valuable thing in your life. For indeed it is. It's God's word, God's promises, and God will always keep his end of the bargain as long as you keep yours. It's conditional. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding. That means insight. You can see the truth and have insight in the sight of God and man. You do good because you're above the riff. You have insight to what is right and what is prosperous and what is peaceful. 5, trust in the Lord. You confide in him. You can confide in man, and sometimes he'll let you down. Confide in the Lord. He will never leave thee, nor will he forsake thee. With all thine heart, not part of it, all the way, my friend, and lean not upon thine own understanding. That's to say, don't count on your own discretion or discernment, okay? Lean on the Father. Ask him. Talk to him. Communicate, communicate, communicate. That's prayer, prayer, prayer. Okay? Ask him. Verse 6, in all thy ways, that's every path you take, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's a promise. Got that? In all your ways, wherever you go, talk to him, and he will direct your path. 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. That's to revere the Lord. You know the comparison, fear and revere. It's according to who you are. And depart from evil. Get away from it. Stay away from it. Don't desire it. Don't hunt for it. Do everything you can to crush that is evil, for that is Satan. It is satanic. It is darkness. You don't need it. You don't have time for it. Why? Because you have eternal life. Verse 8, it shall be help to thy navel. The navel is umbilical cord to umbilical cord. Your generation after generation, you'll have good health if you follow God's commandments. Why? Even the health laws. And marrow to thy bones. In other words, the very watering or the moisting, the marrow is the very center of the bone itself. Okay, we're talking about our bodies. God cares. Okay, he designed them. He knows. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst and out with new wine. Ever flowing is what it says, okay? Verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. You want to kiss the paddle and say, thank you, Father. When he shuts you down and when he corrects you, you better be thanking him. Because it means he still loves you, even though you messed up, probably. But he still loves you, and he thinks you're worth saving. He wants you. He loves you. So when he corrects you, thank him. You get it together. Okay. Again, well, what do I do? Get those ears forward and focus on the Word of God and place it in your mind and hide it there and treasure it like it's the most valuable thing you have, because it is. That's what you do. Verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. You can count on it. even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. It's going to happen. Good advice, good counsel. Verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. You can't help being happy. Why? You're successful. But most of all, you have peace of mind. Many people mark success as money, finances. Well, that helps, but it's not the main thing. The main thing is peace of mind and enough wisdom to make sure that you've got what you need to survive and do God's work. Doesn't take that much. You're truly blessed, and you're rich. If you have the most precious thing in the world tucked away right up here, right in your forehead, the very treasures of the kingdom is the wisdom of Almighty God to lead you, guide you, direct you, and qualify you for all the conditional promises of Almighty God. I would remind you again of that great book of Isaiah where he said, hey, remind me of all those promises I made to you and let's talk about it. That's what this book of comparisons is about. He gives you one way and then he gives you the other. The choice is yours. Verse 14, for the merchandise of it or her is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. It doesn't get any better than wisdom. 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. There is no comparison there. Okay, you lock it away and you hide it in your mind. Again, the most valuable thing in the world are the kingdom to come. And verse 16, to complete this lecture, length of days is in her right hand. Right hand is where the power is, okay? And in her left hand, riches and honor. In other words, when you do the one, the riches and honor follow. God knows what you have need of, and he'll always add it on to it, okay? That's his promise. He makes that promise, and he keeps his promise. But first you have to do that is his power. Find that wisdom. Get those years forward. Concentrate. Stay focused on the commandments of God. And be blessed. Or you've got the world out there. Look at it. Look at what's out there in the world. It's all yours. If you want to walk that way, just go get right in the middle of it. Or you can be heading down right here in today's being. You can have the Word of God. All right, hey, don't miss the next lecture. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Epistles of John, three letters written by the Apostle John, that disciple whom Jesus loved. The tenderness of John's writings is marked by the number of times he begins the exhortations and warnings with, "My little children," or "little children." In fact, "little children" is written seven times in the first epistle alone. The contents of the first epistle are practical teaching in the light of the love of God. God is life, is light, is truth, is righteous, is love. And we have fellowship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. The tenderness and love of John's writing continues in the second epistle as he encourages the elect lady and her children to love one another. He also writes, "This is love, that we walk after his commandments." After these words of encouragement, John warns us that there are many deceivers entered into the world and explains how to identify these deceivers. Don't miss this opportunity to study the Epistles of John with Pastor Arnold Murray.
And there we are, back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, hey, all over Canada. Spirit moves. Got a question? Share it. Those of you that listen by shortwave, your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure. Please never ask a question about a particular denomination, reverend, or organization. Let's don't judge people. That is not our right. God warns us against judging. You can discern what it is you should be around and what you should not be around, but don't judge. God can handle that. That's His job. Don't ever forget that. Now, you got a prayer request. You don't need that number and you don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. Do you know something? He loves you. That's why He sent us this letter, His Word. And that's why His Word is so very valuable. That's His love for us. You know, He gave us really quite a good world. And the third world is going to be so much better. That's to say age. Because He's going to be here with us. Shekinah. God dwells. And He certainly shall. So let Him know that you love Him. It pays great dividends. Gives Him pleasure. Father, around the globe, we come and ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen, amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, and questions. We're going to go with Sharon from... where is Sharon from? I'm going to say that's Kansas, okay? Maybe not. I have a question. I've heard that the Old Testament prophets and believers will not be resurrected until after the millennium because they lived before Jesus. Is this true? Absolutely not. It's not true. Anytime something sounds unfair, you know, they went through quite a lot. They did a pretty good job. Look at Isaiah. Look at Jeremiah. And all the minor prophets, what all they accomplished without the death on the cross that brings intuitively salvation for those that believe. That'd be a little bit unfair, would it not, of God to bring them right back at Judgment Day? No, not at all. Why? Because Christ, while He was yet in the tomb, as you can read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, went all the way back to the time of Noah, which means the beginning, and in paradise taught those people the words of Jesus Christ, and they had the opportunity to obtain that salvation right there, just as you do today. All of them. And as it is written in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, many of them were saved. That is to say, that He released the prisoners that were caught by Satan and trapped. Now, God is always fair. Don't ever let some man take that fairness away in your eyes. Willie from Wisconsin. I know that in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, it says, we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should we eat. I am an adult male still living at home with my mother and grandmother, whom are both ill. I'm working part-time, and I try to assist both my mom and grandmother with their needs. Right now, I'm not financially prepared to have my own place. I have a question. Is it wrong for me to still be at home at my age when some people think that I should be out on my own? I'm 27 years of age, but I want to help my family as long as I can. Look, your mother and your handicapped grandmother need you. That is work. That's God's work. Don't you worry about what people might say. And you working part-time, you're doing your part. But when they need your assistance and they depend on you, you're doing a fantastic job and God approves. You're honoring your elders. And God will always approve of that and honor that. What 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 is talking about is people that refuse to do anything, okay, to even worship God or follow God. It's obvious you do, okay? Barbara from Minnesota. I have this question about being judged. If we are judged now, and there is a judgment day, who are those that will stand before God? It's scary and also overwhelming. It's because you misunderstand judgment. Okay. When you depart this body and return to paradise and go to one or the other side of the gulf, it's not a judgment day. Some people call it the judgment seat of Christ, but it's the book of life. It's what you've done that's written in that book of life that determines which side of that gulf you go on. But then, God is not going to judge people until the end of the millennium when they have had an opportunity to learn the real commandments of God, the real truth of God's Word, beyond any shadow of a doubt, to make his or her mind up totally and completely whether they love God or they still want to follow Satan. And then on Judgment Day, hey, I look forward to it because I'm going to have reward best I can. You know, that's payday. In other words, judgment means you get what you got coming to you. And I've got a lot of blessings because I've worked a lot of years teaching God's Word, and there's supposed to be a blessing for that, a payday, okay? So, and I'm not building myself up there. I just want you to know that Judgment Day isn't all bad. We Christians, by certain churches, get this guilt complex. You're gonna die. You're gonna burn like a piece of bacon. You're gonna go to hell. If you kids keep doing that, the devil is gonna get you. Real Christians, okay? God is a God of love. He loves his children. And God also has rewards. If you have rewards coming on that day, that's positive. But at the same time, it's Judgment Day, and if you haven't, then you know what is written. It's a one-way ticket. But in total fairness, the comparison is made possible. Whichever way you choose, that's where you're going. But the choice is the person's. God is fair and honors whatever one wanted to be judged by, because that's exactly what you would be judged by in your own actions. Richard from Texas. God said, let us make man in our image. Our flesh appearance is in the image of our spiritual bodies. That's right. Question. What about the hybrids that resulted from the fallen angels mixing with women here on earth? Why did they turn out to be giants? They went against nature. It wasn't natural. Anytime you go against nature, trouble's going to happen. Okay. I'll say that again. Anytime you go against that is natural, go against nature the way God created us, you're headed for trouble. Things are going to happen. It's going to blow up right in your face. Cindy from Texas. My question is this. Will I know the Antichrist when he shows? Will the Holy Spirit guide me so that I'm not taken in by this person? Will he be a president of a country? Does America have a big part in this? Well, all the world does, but he's not going to be some president. He's not a man. He's Satan. You got to get that in your mind. Antichrist is the son of perdition, the old devil, the dragon, the serpent, Lucifer, whatever name you want to call him by. Antichrist in the Greek means instead of Jesus, instead of Christ. He always wanted to play the role of Savior. The only thing is he ends up being nothing but death and brings death. So you won't have any trouble recognizing him. You just stay ready and ready to serve Almighty God. And you need to learn the chronological order of events, the seals especially. You need to make a study of the book of Revelation and you will know exactly, okay? Daniel from New Jersey. I like my bacon and ham and bacon. I then heard Dr. Murray teach that, in other words, he kind of stuck with the ham and bacon. And then I heard Arnold Murray teach that Father God, speaking through one of his prophets, said that those that eat swine's flesh are like smoke in his nose, nostrils, okay? So I then stopped eating swine's flesh, and I know not. I now have not knowingly eaten any in the last 7 years, as I do not want to be smoke in my father's nose. Now I'm being challenged to show the actual scripture reference about the smoke. So, what is the book, chapter, and verse that quotes our father saying, those that eat swine's flesh are like smoke in my nose? Isaiah chapter 65, verses 4 and 5. Okay. But, you see, this is beside the point. You want to know why. Why did God tell us not to eat swine's flesh? Because they do not have sweat glands. They're scavengers. Okay. They were made to keep disease off the earth, to take care of that that man cannot participate in eating. And because they do not have sweat glands, all the poison that they take in is stored in the fat. And the hemp, okay. So it's just not healthy, okay. And that's why he says that. Leviticus 11 is one of the better places, but the place you're looking for is Isaiah chapter 65, verses 4 and 5. And God makes it pretty clear. Ruth from Florida, am I my brother's keeper? I think yes. My husband says no. Well, you know, everything is conditional. It's according to what your brother's doing. Okay. Someone earlier quoted 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, that if somebody doesn't work, they shouldn't eat. But there's a lot more to that verse. It says, if a brother does not follow the word of God, then you will set him to one side, and you will not feed him. You will have nothing to do with him. You will not treat him as an enemy, but you will isolate him whereby he knows something is wrong. See, that's if he's being bad, as 1 Thessalonians 3, beginning with verse 6, would indicate. And it is said, get along with your neighbor if it be possible. So you see, I can't judge that. You and your husband will have to work it out, because I don't know what your brother's doing. And a wise person would never, ever, ever give advice on what to do, not knowing the full circumstances. I'm just giving you an example of what should be done. If your brother is a good person and is trying real hard, well, that's a little different. But if you've already tried to help and he refuses to do his part, then you need to think about it. You don't want to be an enabler. Okay. Sherry from Texas. When we return to our Father after death, will we all wait for the millennium to end before the white throne judgment begins? Well, the white throne judgment doesn't, but what do you mean wait? I don't quite, you know, you've got work to do. We have to teach during the millennium that those that never had an opportunity to learn truth. So you're going to be busy, and you have a purpose and a destiny. All right, it's not just sitting and waiting. Okay, God's elect, as it is written, that our Father's own mouth, and perhaps this will help you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I chose you before the foundations of this earth age. Meaning, you withstood Satan in the first earth age to where I've already judged you. This is why God will correct and interfere with one of his elect's lives to make sure that the prophecies come to pass as it is written. Because he's already justified them. That doesn't mean they can't sin and be punished for it and so forth. They certainly will be. But read Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 26, and I think it'll help you. Ralph from Georgia, when our spirit is in heaven and we see our loved ones, are our spirits seen in the way as a human body as here on earth? I would appreciate very much your answer. I hope on television. Well, what are we created in? What did God say? Let us create man in our image. But you look the same. The spiritual body and the flesh body look the same. Enough to the point you would recognize. And of course, you have to realize that age doesn't happen in the spiritual body. So everyone is an adult, But regardless of, people can be thousands of years old from even the first earth age. But in the spiritual body, there's no such thing as age, okay, on a body. So they all appear to be young, what we would consider young in the flesh body, and healthy, all right? But they look the same, only they're in spiritual bodies. The word, let us make man in our likeness, is like almost a phantom. I mean exact, make an exact copy. So hope that helps you. Frank from Wisconsin. Could you please tell me, is it all right for my son to engage in karate in the arts? I believe it's okay as long as it's karate for Christ Jesus. Well, it's an art, and it's a discipline. Mainly, it is a discipline, and that's why I like it. It is a discipline, and one, life without discipline is not much fun, okay? And certainly, it is a good discipline to teach a young man or a woman. Brian from it's not a religion, okay, as many people might think. I know you know better, but some might think it is. It isn't. It's a discipline. Brian from New Jersey. The end time prophecies are one of my favorite subjects. My question is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7. Who is he who now letteth until he will be taken out of the way? Who is this and what is it saying? Okay, it is the verb in verse 7 is a transitive verb. What does that mean? That means that you can't understand who he is until you go back to 4 and 5. Transferring means it transfers back to that subject. The subject is Satan standing in the holy place claiming to be God. And who is holding Satan? Well, when we read in Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, we know it's Michael and his angels that hold Satan. That's who it is that holds him and will hold him until he be taken out of the way. Well, what does it mean, taken out of the way? Sent to earth. We're going to boot him out. Physically, not just spiritually, physically. He and his angels will be kicked out upon this earth. They'll rejoice in heaven, but woe to those on earth that are ignorant concerning the end times. It's going to be quite a show. The Antichrist will be here, who is he that letteth until he be taken out of the way. Michael's he who lets, and Satan's the one taken out of the way. David from Florida. I started meeting years ago by studying in college for the ministry, and one thing I learned is that they didn't know much truth, but knew a lot of man's theology, excuses for what they didn't know. Around about year 2000, I caught you at 4 a.m., and when I heard about who I was and the first earth age, it started to get clear to me how I love to study again. I ran into a couple of snags using the Green's Interlinear. Question one, Genesis chapter 4 starts off with the man, Adam. Then in verses 25 goes to just man, Adam. Could this be because it is already understood who it is talking about? In 4, you want to be careful. It talks about Epha Adam, all right, but then it switches to Cain's genealogy. You don't want to get entailed in that. Adam's genealogy doesn't start until the 5th chapter, okay? That's to say Epha Adam. So that's the Kenite's genealogy that you have in chapter 4. Okay. Genesis chapter 5 starts off with the generations of man, Adam, but it seems to be talking about the generations of the Adam, Epha Adam. It is, okay? You got that right. You're doing good. Revelation chapter 5, the 5th trump, the angels falling from heaven to open the abyss to let out the locust army. Am I right to saying that this isn't Satan, so for he is kicked out of heaven at the 6th. No, the 5th trump is not the 5th seal. Is a seal of teaching. It is a time to teach that Satan will come at the 6th trump and what prevails while he's here. Okay. It is God's way of preparing and teaching and having ready when Satan is here. Doug from Oklahoma. Doug, the Antichrist is Satan himself. Don't ever let somebody tell you that it's some man here on earth. That's a bunch of malarkey. Okay. The chapter we were just talking about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 documents that for you. He's the son of perdition. There's only one. Perdition means to perish. There's only one entity that's already been judged by Almighty God. He doesn't have to wait till the great white throne judgment. Only one now, by name, that's already been judged to die, and that's what perdition means. That's Satan. Okay. So, do you believe God or do you want to believe some man? Okay, so be real careful. It's real easy to be misled in these end times. Trust God. He will never leave you. He will never forsake thee. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. It's the letter He sent to you, communicating to you His wishes, His way, His promises, and the fact that He loves you. So, return that love. Let Him know that you love Him. And it makes His day, and when you make His day, He's going to make yours. Brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, and listen to me now, most important is this, that you stay in His Word every day. Every day in His Word is a good
or a little